All right, everyone, welcome back into another fantasy golf video. Going to be breaking down the Valero Texas Open, giving you guys the top picks, the best values, and a first look build. With that, let's go ahead and get into this week. So this week on paper, guys, this is going to be a much more appealing week than I think any week over the past month, especially over the past 3 weeks. If you guys are familiar with the 9-5 write-up, I have marked the last three tournaments as red-green weeks, which is kind of a weird rating. You know, it's kind of like a stoplight. Think about like red, green, yellow. Green, you go. Yellow, you yield. And red, you're very, well, you stop. But you're hesitant, okay? And so that's how I go about grading the weeks. I would say it's been pretty accurate the last 3 weeks where it was just a little bit more difficult to predict. On paper, this one's going to be pretty easy to predict. The only thing I want to call out is maybe the weather could play a little bit into the unpredictability of it. Thursday looks good weather-wise, only 9 mile per hour winds. Friday's not too bad as well. 60 mile per hour winds, not too bad. But you know, if it starts to get more than that, that's when we have to start to worry about the wind. And that stuff does matter. Like Thomas Dietrich is a play that I got on as a low exposure play last week, which means about like 5 to 10%, simply because he was a good pad weather player. And so I do think that's something we want to be looking at. But what we'll see from looking at the past results here is that this tournament is typically a harder scoring track. Now, last week's, really the last couple of tournaments have been harder scoring tracks as well. So you could either look at birdie to bogey ratio or bogey avoidance. Either of those two key stats are going to be huge, but it's weird. The key stats that we're looking at this week are going to be a little bit different than the key stats we were looking at the previous weeks. So we go ahead and pull up the golfers that are going to be the best stat fits for this week. And the key stats that we're going to be looking at, I'm looking at birdie to bogey ratio, ball striking. We do see that golfers that are good stroke gain approach, but also ball striking are going to be key, but also good drive percentage. Golfers that tend to keep their ball in the fairway or close to the fairway are going to set themselves up for success. Par 5 scoring is one that does matter as well. It's a par 72 course. You need to be scoring on those par 5s. So don't be making bogeys elsewhere, scoring the par 5s. That makes sense. But you could also toss in, it's kind of weird, you could also toss in wedge scoring a little bit, but also 200 yard plus scoring. Those are both kind of stats that I don't have as like key stats going into the data, but more secondary stats. Don't want to get behind the data too much, but you can look at that as well. But if we just look at those four key stats, we're going to see the golfers that are popping up as the best stat fits. If you guys have been following along this year, like these are actually pretty good name players that are popping up stat fit wise, which already has me encouraged about this week. So we are going to get some golfers that I feel like we can at least confidently play this week. So we jump into the golfers that had the best course history here. It's kind of a long list, and that's also what gets me encouraged about this week. So we got Matt Kuchar, who has found himself in contention the last couple of years at this tournament. Also want to point out that we aren't looking at 2020. Wasn't how they were looking at 2019. So with that, not as good for course history. You know, we always want to be looking at the last 4 years course history. That's when the data is going to be the most relevant. 5 years is fine though. Really after 5 years is when it's statistically not that relevant. And so Matt Kuchar, yes, best course history. I mean, really just been a stud. Course history average over the last 4 years, average finish of 6. So he's been playing really well. Brent Snedeker popping up in there. I don't know. Maybe you want to take a peek at him. I don't think I'm going to be going there. Corey Connors just seems like one of the easiest plays on the board this week. Same thing with actually Lucas Glover, and I'll get into that a little bit later. You can figure out what you want to do with Jordan. He's always hit or miss. Kevin Streelman, maybe someone you want to look at. Aaron Baddeley, he's been someone that's playing pretty decent. Aaron Rye was, you know, great GPP play. Actually, ownership leverage wise, guys, really spot on last week. You got on Stefan Jaeger. You got on Aaron Rye if you used the ownership leverage tool last week. And actually, last week, my best lineup ended up being the ownership leverage lineup, which I will say is not too shocking. If you guys have been following along with that, it's been pretty darn accurate in terms of giving you guys an edge each week. But that was kind of weird. But Aaron Rye is going to be someone I think we can look at again this week. Charlie Hoffman, probably not someone we're looking at, but does have good course history. Lanto Griffin, good course history. We do see a lot of Texas guys that actually kind of pop up here. Troy Money Merritt has been decent here. Benny Ann, 2 top 10 finishers. So this is great. We actually have a lot of golfers that have played this track a decent amount, which is heavily encouraging. Let's go ahead and take a peek at recent form. So when we take a peek at recent form, Aubert is going to be the best in terms of recent form. Then we got Hideki, Rory, Norin, McNealy, Adam Scott. But this is kind of where I like it for this week. We can see if we go down the list, we can be targeting golfers that are in great recent form that aren't going to be too high priced. Like Harris English, for example, 8.3. That's an extremely cheap price tag for someone like him. Mark Hubbard, you know, a golfer that I kind of recommended as a play last week. He's coming in with great form. Danny McCarthy, Benny Ant. Like, we have a lot of golfers that are coming in with some good form, which should, in theory, make this week much easier to predict. Let's jump into the specialist page. So by now, you guys are pretty familiar with what the specialist data pulls in. It's pulling in all the unique characteristics for that week's tournament, putting it into one data point. You know, too many times I think people in the industry like focus on like the nuanced stuff a little bit too much rather than just looking at, you know, which golfers are in the best form, which golfers are the best at fit, which golfers have played well at this track. But I do think there's some weeks where it does pay off to look at stuff like this. Like last week, again, if you looked at like harder scoring events, Jaeger was like top five. And so I do think stuff like that does matter. Now, this is a weird list. This is based off of the average results over their past seven starts. And a lot of these golfers in here just don't have that many starts on harder scoring track. Now, I will point out Bo Hosler, Benny Ann, I probably will give those guys a bump. I'm actually a little bit surprised that Henley's popping up in there as well. Ben Silverman, maybe someone we're looking at, but I do find that stuff to be pretty interesting. Another thing I want to look at as well, again, is going to be that weather. It could be pretty bad out. So right now as it sits, Dosti popping up in there after last week. That's surprising. But Max Gracerman, someone that I actually don't mind value-wise. We'll talk about him in a little bit. Rory's popping up in there. Tom Kim, Denny McCarthy. So again, I think this is worth looking at. Do we need to go crazy with it? No. So with that, let's go ahead and pull in the top plays for this week. So I will say, I don't get it. I do not get the pricing of Rory thus far this season. He has not been a top 10 play, I don't believe, once this week or this year, this season, I should say. And he hasn't delivered a top 10 result. Now, I think it's because of people pulling in DP Tour stuff and whatnot, kind of ended the season well, but he really has been extremely overpriced thus far this season to the point where it's been easy just to not play him, to just pass up on him, which I think we should do this week. Now, I will say, if the weather does get more tricky, that should benefit him. Maybe in that regard, you can get on him more, but it's not like he's a bad play. It's just he's definitely overpriced. This isn't like Scotty. You're not locking in a top five finish. This will probably hurt your lineup more than it'll help your lineup, more likely than not. But we do have Hideki popping up in there as one of the best plays and really the second best play this week. And I do think that is warranted. So we saw Hideki recently get back in the winner's circle at the Genesis Invitational. And since then, he's finished 12th and 6th. I mean, just great results there for Hideki. And if you're looking at the Masters, I don't want to look at too much. He's someone outright wise that I think you could jump on as well. He's popping up really well there. So are some other golfers this week as well. I'll touch on them as well. But Hideki, yeah, he, to me, if you're trying to pay up for someone, he's the guy you're paying up for. Now, can you fit him into your builds exactly? Maybe not, but he is certainly someone that does look good. Course history here wise, 2 out of 3 made cuts. Would like that to be a little bit better at his price tag, but still one of the best plays on the board this week. But the best play on the board this week, and I don't think it's really going to shock anyone, Corey Connors, just been playing some great golf, very consistent as well. He's been knocking on the door to win thus far this season, just hasn't been able to put it all together for 4 rounds thus far this season. But he is a 2-time winner, and his other results of this tournament have been fantastic. As well, I shouldn't say fantastic, but good enough. 35th and 14th key stat wise. You could argue maybe this is why we're looking at the key stats that we're looking at, but he is popping up in there very well. Just great. Birdie to bogey ratio, top 15 in the field. Ball striking, top 3 in the field. Good drive percentage and par 5 scoring, top 10 in the field. Great results. Been on a long made cut streak. Look at all the key metrics for this week as well. Specialist data, second best, fourth best in course history, second best stat fit, eighth best in recent form. I mean, he is just checking all the boxes this week, guys. Going to be an easy play at that price tag. And so to me, he's kind of an easy lineup starting point. Now, I will say, I did say that about Jason Day last week. That didn't exactly work out. It was the easy plays last week that hurt the most. And then from there, I would say we have a couple of kind of okay options like Benny Ann. I'm perfectly happy to play. I know he was a letdown at the Players Championship after having a terrible round in round two. We can see that's definitely an outlier. Now, he has been a little bit prone to some blow-up rounds here or there. We look at the API 76. We look at the Waste Management Phoenix Open 75. Like, that has been the thing that's been kind of holding him back thus far this season. But really, he is someone at that price tag where it's already factored into that. So, is he the safest play ever coming in off of a miscut? No. But he has shown upside here. Like, he is a great, great GPP play. Now, in terms of like a safe play that also has upside, Alex Noren is that play. Alex Noren coming in as the third best pick in the 9-to-5 model, also a golfer that is coming in basically checking all the boxes. Now, I would like to have one more start at this tournament over the past 4 years or over his past 4 starts here. That's not the case, but he did finish top 20 at this tournament last year, so I'm kind of fine with that result. We can see key stat wise again, a guy that's top 11 or better in all the key stats that we're looking at. Actually, 3 of the key stats that we're looking at, he is top 3 or better. 12 straight made cuts, looking at the upside, 11th place finish last year, top 10 place finish 3 starts ago. Just a player that's coming in checking all the boxes. Again, this is the type of play that's going to make this week a little bit easier on paper. And so already I would say, like, lineup path wise, we are getting three pretty awesome plays. Now, maybe we don't need to get to Hideki at 10.6. That might be a little bit too high price. Maybe you do go more of a fair and balanced approach, but we are going to get some good values as well, to the point where maybe we don't need to do that. And so from Noren, we do have some decisions as to who to go to. Like Russell Henley, I think, is a good play. Harris English, I really like. Harris English, guys, next week is going to be a phenomenal play. I would argue he's a great play this week as well. The only thing that's holding him up data-wise is going to be a miscut at this start 5 years ago. Again, we typically don't even look at that. So other than that, third best specialist, ninth best at fit, ninth best in recent form. Now, I probably do knock him a little bit because we haven't seen him play well at this tournament recently. And I do think course history is something we want to be focusing in on. At the same time, he's looking like a great play, but he will be looking like a great play next week as well. That's the thing. It's like, I need him to do well this week so I can play him next week. Same thing with Hideki, same thing with some other players as well, because then next week it's more difficult as well. Russell Henley is looking like a great play. Top 12 pick in the 9-5 model. You guys can see the reasons why. Basically top 20 or better in all the four key metrics that we look at, but also made cut at this event 5 years ago. Again, kind of a weird stat there. Ricky, you know, been pretty solid at this tournament. It's kind of weird though. Key stat wise, hasn't been that good. Now, Ricky has clearly not been on his game recently, and I think that's a knock on him. But at the same time, if you wanted to play him, I wouldn't argue with him. To me, kind of the next, I don't want to say easy play, but pricing-wise, it's a play that makes a lot of sense. Aaron Rye. I mentioned Aaron Rye was, I think he was the second best leverage play last week on the board. I think Jaeger ended up being number one, or they might have been flip-flopped. I'm very interested to see what his ownership will be this week, because he is a hit-or-miss kind of type of option. But you look at key stat-wise, birdie bogey ratio, top 15 in the field, ball striking, top 6 in the field, good drive percentage, second. So he has been setting himself up for good opportunities. And for the most part, he's been able to take advantage of that. Now we look at it, he has been a little bit hit-or-miss. You know, we don't love that. But for the most part, been pretty solid. He's been playing strong golf as well. It wouldn't be shocking to see him in contention again this week. At the same time, if he misses a cut, I wouldn't be too shocked. But again, that's kind of baked into the price that we're getting with him. Just kind of a clearly a great value though at his price tag. So from there, if anyone is a member on the 9to5 Discord, I think they're pretty familiar with Bo Hosler and his bunker shot at this tournament 2 years ago. It still lives rent-free in my head, where he was basically in the rider's seat heading into a par five that was the easiest hole to score on that day. And he ends up just getting a full wedge pretty much, or blading a wedge, like 70 yards past the green into, I don't even know where, it was into the dirt. And he had to take a drop. And yeah, that was very bittersweet. But he is looking like a good play, Texas guy. He's been someone that has been trending in the right direction for quite some time. A little bit too hit or miss recently. His form did kind of fall off. But if it was ever to get a little bit better again, this would be a great tournament for him. EVR is someone that's still looking like a great play. But the one that kind of stands out to me is going to be Lucas Glover, just given the fact that he has made four straight cuts at this tournament. We look at his recent starts, really one bad start there over his past four starts. But at this price, I guess 7.3, we will rarely get a golfer that's coming in checking all the boxes. And so when we can get a golfer who really, you know, barely missed a cut the Players' Championship due to one bad round in the first round, I kind of like that. And you look at his miscut at the Sony Open, again, one bad round in there, round one. And so I guess fingers crossed that he has a good round one. But at this price tag, he's kind of a clear value play that I'm happy to end up on. He just shouldn't be priced that low. And then from there, I do think it's worth calling out Andrew Putnam, who had been a player that I've been like kind of targeting heavily over the past like year and a half now. And he continues to probably be a little bit too cheap. Top 20 pick in the 9to5 model. Not like great in anything. Well, he is actually. Birdie bogey ratio, great. Good drive percentage, great. That is led to some success for him as well. 3 out of 4 made cuts in this tournament. I think that's what we'd be looking for if we're playing him at this price tag, is more a made cut. But at this price tag, he is certainly in play, certainly someone that we should be probably targeting. And then just some other plays I want to mention, like Lee Hodges, kind of in play, 3 straight made cuts, you know, had a top 10 finish at this tournament. I do think you need to be rostering some of Matt Kuchar. He clearly loves this track. How much of him, I don't know yet. Like, you just want some exposure to him just in case he does have another good round here. Andrew Novak, you know, didn't have the best week last week, but he did make the cut. And at 6.5, if you can get someone that's going to make the cut that also, you know, potentially has some big upside like he has shown both at this tournament and over his past few starts, that is something that I will be interested in. I think you guys should be as well. Ryan Moore's made 3 straight cuts in a row, but I think Max Gracerman is kind of looking good. We can see a 7th and a 15th over his past 4 starts, and he has made 4 cuts in a row. Topped 20 staff in the field as well. Like 6.5 does feel like a great price take for him. I'm happy to get to him. And then like Jonathan Vegas, I think he's a fine GPP play. If you need to go down that low, he's certainly someone you could look at. But I will say the one play that I'm a little bit surprised by the pricing on is Martin Laird, who has been playing pretty darn well lately. And, you know, he's one of those guys where really just one bad start at the Farmers recently. Sony Open as well, a bad opening round there, 75. But for the most part, has been playing great, great golf. And he also has a great track record at this tournament. Now, he's not anyone that's going to wow you across the board, but really nothing too alarming in his game. You know, he's about top 50 or so or better in all the key metrics that we're looking at. And to get him at such a cheap price tag, to me, feels like a very strange pricing mistake. And so like we could easily play him. And look at this, guys. We have five very solid options that leave us at like 7.9. And then from there, maybe we're trying to get a little bit lucky. Maybe we do go Aaron Rye, a little bit too risky. Maybe Bo Hazard, I'd be fine with that. Yeah, Christian Bazunhout is a player that should be able to produce some good results at this tournament. Like, we do probably end up on someone that's more of a lineup filler, but at the same time, I'm kind of okay with that. Like, this is seemingly a great week on paper. But that's going to do it for this week. Make sure to give a like and subscribe to the channel. If you guys want to access to any of the tools that you saw in this video, well, it was just the cheat sheet, but we got plenty more for fantasy golf for you guys. That's available for you guys for just $10 a month. Take advantage of that. I mentioned the ownership leverage tool a bunch. That's been a huge edge thus far this season. But that's going to do it for today's video. Make sure to give a like and subscribe. Appreciate that. Head on over to 95sports.com. Have a good week this week. I'm excited for this week, in case you guys couldn't tell. Thanks for watching. And as always, let's keep cashing.